to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a free domain with website from GoDaddy.com, starting at $1 a month. Annual purchase of website builder required. Price valid first year only. See website for details.
Some strong storms will be possible in parts of Mississippi beginning tomorrow, and there's a lot of rain in the forecast this week.
Even though those storms could produce damaging winds and maybe a few tornadoes,
the rainfall is going to be the bigger deal and probably the bigger concern.
Brad Bryant at the National Weather Service in Jackson says the heaviest of the rain will push in on Thursday and could last into the weekend, with parts of South Mississippi getting as much as 5 to 6 inches, with a few spots closer to 8 inches. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The toxic water in Flint, Michigan is a hot topic for the Democratic presidential debates. At a debate last night in Flint, Hillary Clinton said those responsible for the crisis should be held accountable. She told residents that the Michigan state government let them down. Bernie Sanders told the CNN debate that the crisis is a disgrace beyond belief. Both called for Governor Rick Snyder to resign over the crisis. The candidates face off again tonight at a town hall event on Fox News at 6 p.m. Eastern. A cyber threat against Apple computers is over. Apple blocked the ransomware attack aimed at Mac users over the weekend. The security company Palo Alto Networks reported that it found that the ransomware wrapped in a legitimate Bitcoin application. Once a computer is infected with ransomware, the user is directed to pay a fee, usually in Bitcoin, to recover their files. This weekend's ransomware attack is believed to be the first aimed at Apple. Previous attacks targeted computers running Windows. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The weather today is sunny with a high near 60. Southwest winds 8 to 11 miles per hour. Tonight will be increasing clouds with a low around 41. Southwest winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 67. My kind of weather. West winds 5 to 9 miles an hour. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 44 with calm winds. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 73. Southwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour. And Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 49.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to NAMI's Hour, compliments at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, where we work out of, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And we try to help people who have either someone in their family or are close to someone who has a mental health issue. or someone who, they themselves who have a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We do it by classes. We do it by support groups. We do it by trying to teach various groups, law enforcement, teachers, etc. And the more we get the word out about mental illness and the more we break the stigma of it, the more people learn and the more satisfied they can become, because mental illness is just a illness. It is not something that makes somebody totally different. Yeah, it's an illness, and there's no cure, but people can go on and live wonderful lives. Today we are very privileged, or I'm very privileged, to have with us Alicia Stevenson, and she's going, yes, I am very privileged. But Alicia has been involved with NAMI Hunterdon for a good many years, and she is currently the Hunterdon County treasurer for NAMI, and I almost had a twist her arm to come on today, but it didn't take much. I said, Alicia, I have an opening on Monday. I'll be there. Okay, so, you know. But anyway, Alicia, I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thanks. You know I love being here.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like we have the same goal, is to get the word out, break stigma, the whole nine yards. So, you know, it's one way of doing it. You know, being on the internet, like I said, I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten from all over, even Europe and, you know, nice. What have you. So that's pretty awesome. All right. Right now, I am taking a class that you're teaching.
You are.
I am. And it's called Mental Health First Aid. You want to explain it?
Sure. Mental Health First Aid is a curriculum developed it was first started in Australia back in 2001 by a couple. And it's kind of like CPR for persons who are experiencing a mental health crisis, not necessarily having a mental, not necessarily with a diagnosis. CPR, you're taught to help somebody until other help arrives. And that's kind of what Mental Health First Aid is. It's an 8-hour curriculum that helps anyone help anybody else who might be experiencing a mental health issue, whether they have a diagnosis or not, because we all have mental health
of some sort.
And at times we all go through things that challenge our mental health. So this is an 8-hour curriculum for people who want to help others get through that crisis until help arrives or until the crisis resolves itself. Okay. That's it in a nutshell. I could talk 3 hours on it. And so,
well, how did you get involved?
How did I get involved? Back in 2011, I saw something. One of the NAMIs, I think, in Ocean County was put out a mental health first aid workshop that they were doing. And I thought, whoa, I want to do, you know me.
Yeah.
I want to get out there and do anything I can to help educate the public. And I signed up for the course and it got canceled because they did not have enough participants. But shortly thereafter, the shootings at Sandy Hook in Connecticut, I was reading everything I could to try to help. How do we help individuals who are experiencing issues or parents who see their loved ones experiencing issues get the help they need? And I saw that NAMI was helping advocate for mental health first aid programs. It's not an NAMI program. We'll talk about who does administer it later. But I thought, okay, now where's it going? So I looked for another class. I signed up and I took the class as a participant in January of 2013. Loved the 8-hour curriculum. It was a very diverse class. I was a parent. You know me. I'm a parent of a child with mental health challenges. But in the class, there were people who worked in the Y. There were IT technicians. There were people from the general public. It was a nice mix of folks in the room. And I thought, this is a great class. And at the end of the class, when they asked who should take this class, everybody in the class said, everybody. So I thought, yes, they should. And you know me. I just, when you take the class, you become a certified mental health first aider, which means if you happen upon a mental health situation, you can, if you would like to, help until help arrives. It doesn't mean that you're a technician that somebody calls. Somebody had once asked me, do I get on a list? And you call a mental health first aid, or if you need them. No, that's not it. You happen upon a situation. So I decided I want to go beyond being a mental health first aider. I want to learn how to teach that class to others. And I took, in December of 2013, the Mental Health Association of Morris County got a grant to offer the mental health first aid instructor training, which is a 40-hour training. Mm-hmm. For a far reduced cost, because it's a fairly expensive program. Right. The 40-hour program is fairly expensive. So it was a far reduced cost, which I took along with 30 other folks up in Morris County, and I became a mental health first aid instructor. And I love it. I love it. Love it.
Okay. You felt by teaching it, you could get the word out more than just being you?
Yes. Me is pretty vocal anyway.
No, really?
But by teaching it, because I've been a teacher of some of the NAMI programs that are out there.
Right.
I'm a facilitator for support group. I teach NAMI basics, which is the parents.
Yeah, we're going to get through to that. So.
For parents of school-age kids. A lot of the NAMI programs we're kind of pitching to other families. The mental health first aid program is for anybody. It's for the general public. And we can go out there and reach those people. And by becoming an instructor, I can now teach other people how to become mental health first aiders. So it's a pay it forward kind of thing. The more people we teach to become mental health first aiders, the more people there are in public. So if there is a mental health situation that arises, those people can assist. Because have you ever been trained in CPR?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever used your CPR training?
In the service, but I wasn't trained then. But since I was trained in civilian life, no.
Okay. The majority of times, I do ask that when I start teaching the class, have you been trained in CPR? The percentage of people raise their hand, yes. When I ask them if they've used it, most of them put their hand down and most have not used it. Mental health first aid, on the other hand, almost every one of us in society will come upon a situation in which somebody needs somebody to step in and say, hey, I think I can help. So it's so prevalent out there that you will guaranteed use your mental health first aid certification. And after you complete the 8-hour course, you do get a 3-year certification. It's not that it does expire, but it's not like on year 4 you can't administer mental health first aid. You just don't have that certification anymore. But you can certainly – you will come upon a situation that will help somebody. And again, not necessarily somebody with a mental health diagnosis.
No, right.
But somebody who's experiencing a difficult time that they're going through.
Right. And we face that all the time.
Yeah.
You know. I took it just so if there was something that I was missing or that I wasn't cognizant of, mm-hmm. I could be made aware of. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much, you know, why. Because like you, I have countless families that we've dealt with and tried to help and individuals we've tried to help. And, you know, so that's one of the reasons I took it.
Yeah.
One last question about the class, the current class that I'm in, that you're teaching. Do you find it diversified?
We have a nice mix in there. There's a couple of students in there, which is nice to see people up and coming in the field that are in the mental health field. We do have a couple of people who are guardians for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have an attorney in the class.
Yes, we do.
Well, yeah, I do think so. I've had a large number of diverse classes. I had some clergy in my classes at times. I've had an EMT, emergency medical tech, in my class at times. So, and I just did. I completed a training in Somerset County for domestic violence staff. They asked me to come into their agency and train their staff on how to help people with mental illnesses. There are different curriculums for different folks, though, and can I explain a little bit about that?
Sure.
Okay. Mental health first aid, there are two broad categories of the class. There's a mental health first aid youth class, which is mental health first aid for adults who may interact with youth experiencing a mental health issue. Then there's mental health first aid adult, which are for adults who interact with other adults who may experience mm-hmm. a mental health issue. Under the mental health first aid adult curriculum are subcategories of specialties. There's one for public safety, which is law enforcement, EMT, first responders, park rangers, etc. There's one for veterans, one for rural populations, one for older adult populations, one for the clergy, and there's another that I forget. If I remember it, I'll say it later. And each of those has a subspecialty. I am certified to teach mental health first aid adult for anybody, plus mental health first aid for public safety, and I'm hoping to do one for park rangers fairly soon, specifically for a group of park rangers. I'm also certified to do mental health first aid training for veterans and their families. So there are subcategories underneath that, and we reach such a – it's we're talking to the public. We're talking to everybody. Everybody really should take the course, and we are blessed that NAMI Hunterdon has offered to subsidize the cost of the course for those who want to take it. So at least through 2016, and I hope for longer, we are subsidizing the cost of the course. It's about $150 value when you add time and materials into the class, and you get a manual that goes with it. But after the 8 hours, it's really nice that we can do it for free, and we're offering it for free to populations because I cannot keep up with the demand for the class. So what a nice difference back in 2011 when I wanted to take the course and they could not get enough people to even fill the class to now that I'm teaching the class and I don't want to say I can't keep up with the demand because that'll make people feel like, oh, we don't want to overwhelm her. I will teach the class as often as I can because it's 8 hours of information that even as much as you know, there's always a little bit of something you can gain, even not from the curriculum, which is great, but from the participants in the class that we learn. So I love the class because it's 8 hours and can be done in one day, could be done over 2 days, 4 hours, which is my favorite way to do it, which is how we're doing it.
Right.
4 hours over 2 days. That's the best way. Love it.
When you took the training to become an instructor in it, did that cover veterans and?
Oh, no. Good question. Good question. The basic instructor training just teaches you on the basic curriculum, the mental health first aid adult or the mental health first aid youth,
which are slightly different,
whichever track you take. After that, once you become certified as an instructor, you can do additional trainings. They're online trainings to watch videos, listen to the curriculums, take a test at the end for subspecialties. In order to actually become certified in those subspecialties, you have to prove that you can actually do it and reach those audiences and know enough of people to do that. I do a lot of work with law enforcement in our county, so I knew I could reach law enforcement, public safety. So that was one of my subspecialties. And veterans, I have a brother-in-law who was a Vietnam veteran. We lost last year. And just knowing what veterans and veterans' families and what my sister went through all those years, I wanted to become certified in that. So I had to take training, special training. So it's each special trainings.
Okay.
So, love it.
All right. You taught basics, the NAMI basics course.
Mm-hmm.
Would you explain a little bit about what the basics course is and who it affects and blah, blah, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Basics is the short title for the basics or the fundamentals of caring for you and your child with mental health challenges. It's a 6-week course. It's curriculum by NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, for families who have school-age children with mental health challenges, whether they're diagnosed or not. They may be having symptoms of mental health disorder as well.
Right.
I teach mine in 7 weeks. I do an additional week of something, you know. Party week that expands the curriculum, but it's within the curriculum. We talk about development, childhood development. We talk about what the disorders are. We talk about how to communicate effectively, how to problem solve effectively. The course is largely not about, we don't want to make it about the children. We want to make it more about the self-care and the caring for the parents, because who cares for us? You know, we care for our child, we care for our children, but there's nobody to say it's okay to lose your patience. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel grief. You know, because when your son was first diagnosed, did anybody sit with you and put their arm around you and let you cry?
We didn't even know who to go to. You know, we had never heard of NAMI or anything like that, and didn't, you know, had no clue.
So it's about taking care of the families. It's that camaraderie. It's the networking. It's the resources. My favorite part of that is the communication and problem solving piece, because I love that piece. I do an expanded version of that in my seventh week. And I've taught that program, taught or trained nationally. I'm a national trainer on the program about 30 times over the past several years. And I love that. It's 6 weeks, so it's for me, 7 weeks, it's a longer commitment than mental health first aid. So I've kind of put my basics, because I keep getting people asking me, are you teaching basics? Are you teaching basics? And this year I'm not, in 2016, but there are other counties. So people can go on the NAMI.org or NAMINJ.org to see what other counties or states are teaching it.
Right.
But I'm doing my mental health first aid classes this year.
So you have to do so many of those to stay certified, don't you?
Mental health first aid, we are required to teach 3 a year in order to stay certified.
Right.
NAMI basics, there's a requirement once you become a teacher, you have to teach it twice in order to stay certified. Well, stay certified. You know, you're only required to teach it twice, but I've taught it 30 or trained.
I've been teaching family to family since
forever.
12 years now.
Teaching is my favorite thing. If I could do that all day, every day, heaven.
Well, yeah, I love teaching the class. I get frustrated over, not at the people, at the system, that there's so many people that were like me 20 years ago and my wife who know nothing about what my son was going through. We don't know who to go to or whatever. Now, there's still people that don't know about NAMI. There's still people that don't know where to go. There's still people that don't know that there's a screener at the hospital and, you know, yada, yada. And it just drives me insane. And then they have someone, either their loved one or someone that they're close to or whatever, come out of a hospital where they've been for whatever period of time, and they can't get an appointment with a psychiatrist for 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I mean, come on, really? You just released this person from an institution. Don't you think follow-up should be the thing?
Yeah.
But by the same token, our population, the amount of people in Hunterdon County, technically, we should have somewhere in the vicinity of 60 to 70 psychiatrists. We have 36.
Yeah.
And that counts the ones that are working in a hospital. That counts the ones that are in private practice. So that's about half of what we need.
Sure.
So, I mean, I understand. I don't accept it, but I understand why it may be 6 weeks before you can get in. But I think if someone is getting out of a hospital or a monitored care service, they should be able to get in a heck of a lot sooner than that. But that's another, basic.
We're making slow progress. We're making progress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's way too slow for those of us who are living through it.
Yeah,
so
it is. It's just, you know.
You know me. I'm not getting on my soapboxes about all the things we could change.
Well, we could then. There's so much that we could. But, you know, it's like the problem is that, you know, people are in crisis. And they don't know where to go. They don't know who to go to. So they're just, you know, we were beating our heads against them. Well, we didn't know what to do. And then when they put our son in Trenton Psych, that was like, you know, all we heard about, oh, my God, Trenton Psych, that's terrible. You know, well, I don't know whether it was because Priscilla and I went and visited at different times, not together. I mean, we did go together on like a Sunday, but I worked wacky hours. So, I mean, I could go at 2 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes or 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, she would go at night because she was working, you know, like 8 to 5 or whatever. So whether it was the fact that they didn't know, the staff didn't know when we were coming, that our son got good treatment. Mm-hmm. But I can't say one, neither can Priscilla say one bad thing about the staff there. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, you know, but it's just.
You know, you talk to 100 people, 50 of them will have a positive experience, 50 sure. will have a less than Absolutely. Positive experience. There's so many factors that go into that. But, you know, access to care, whether it's in the hospital or the community, it needs to be timely, it needs to be accessible. It needs to be affordable.
Affordable, absolutely.
Even if you can get an appointment, can you afford the appointment? Most mental health professionals are not in networks.
Right, right.
They're not, and it's who can afford out of network.
And I don't agree, but I can understand why they're not in network either, you know.
Yeah. You know, side topic, I heard it interesting because at one point in time, when I do a lot of workshops, you know I talk in the community a lot. And I had said, not a lot of mental health professionals are in networks. You know, they don't need to put up with the hassles of managed care, right. blah, 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 blah. And so they don't need to be. And one of the mental health professionals in the room raised her hand. She said, Alicia, it's not that we don't want to. We've asked to be in network. And we were told by the insurance company, we have enough providers. I almost hit the floor. The networks are telling them there's enough providers. Something to explore. That's something I would like to explore at one point in time to see if that's the case.
Yeah,
because that
really.
That blew me away. But you're right. There just aren't enough for whatever reason.
Right.
In networks, people can't afford it. Or the psychiatrist appointments are largely 9 to 5. Where are people? 9 to 5.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Work, school. Who can afford to take off of work?
Right.
Who can afford to get out of
in
school?
In this economy? Nope. Yes. Nope. You know. All right, let's go to a different topic. How about the Jail Diversion Task Force?
Okay.
Did I say that right?
Well, there's a couple of things. You kind of mixed it too, but we'll go okay. to the jail diversion thing. So that was the first two words you said. The jail diversion program in late 2015, Hunterdon County was one of two counties that got a grant from, I think it's the Attorney General's office in New Jersey, for a jail diversion program. It's $150,000 over 2 years to help divert individuals who are involved with the criminal justice system. And I don't know all the provisions of it. You would have to ask the prosecutor, which I recommended that you have mm-hmm. the prosecutor come on and talk about that program, who may have a mental health or a substance use issue, and if they're nonviolent crimes, to divert them into treatment and to programs. And the money, I believe, is supposed to help fund the treatments
right.
of those individuals.
Now, that $150,000, is that like $75,000
yes,
a year?
Yes, I believe indeed it is.
Yeah, I think it is.
Hunterdon County
is
one of two counties. I believe there are 5 other counties that had it 2 years prior to that. I don't recall what the other counties are, except I know Ocean County was one of the first counties to get
right.
that grant. And I spoke with NAMI in Ocean to see how their program is going. And they're very pleased with their program.
I got to ask a stupid question.
Yeah.
After the 2 years, what happens?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, we should, I think.
Ask the prosecutor. Maybe he'll know.
Yeah, because, you know, all right, so you put this program up and you got funded for 2 years and now you got people in it and everybody, you know, is happy and the thing's going well. Now what?
Well,
you know. I mean, do you get another grant?
Well, and again, I know fairly recently, I know that there's been some movement in Trenton to provide additional funding for
right.
mental health and substance. And
right.
I have not had time to read all of the provisions of that. But I would imagine that there's this general push, I think nationally, to mm-hmm. have more treatment and provide more funds for community-based treatments. Because you can't punish mental health or substance use problems away in jail. You can't. The recidivism
right.
rate is high. You just can't punish those things out of people. So I think we're starting to realize that. So I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
okay.
hopeful that there will be additional funding.
Okay.
for such things because we need it.
Now, is it that's up and running now?
Well, that's interesting. I don't know. I would love to talk to our prosecutor, Tony Kearns, whom I know fairly well, to see the status of that. I did email him fairly recently. I know he's a busy guy. He hasn't gotten back to me yet. So that's why I suggested you have either Anthony Kearns, who is our prosecutor. He's a wonderful prosecutor in Hunterdon County. Or somebody from his office come and talk about that program so you can get the details directly from them. We do hope to collaborate with them, though. I keep telling Mr. Kearns that we would love to collaborate because there's a lot we can bring to the table as having lived experience of families.
Now, that's jail diversion program?
It's the jail diversion – I would say jail diversion – mental health jail diversion program.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there is some kind of task force, too, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Okay. We're going to have to take a quick break.
Sorry, are we running up against a break?
No, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and folks, we'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hidean Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hidean Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hidean Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With 3 great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and we're very privileged to have with us today Alicia Stevenson, who she and I go back quite a ways. She is also the treasurer of NAMI Hunterdon, along with holding numerous other positions and what have you. We were talking, we had just talked about the Mental Health Jail Diversion Program. Is there a task force of some sort, too?
Yes, there is. Not tied to the Mental Health Jail Diversion Program. Back in 2015, the freeholders in Hunterdon County signed a declaration declaring Hunterdon County a stigma-free zone, which is pretty much a piece of paper that says we're a stigma-free zone. There, at the end of 2015, there was a task force put together to kind of put meaning and action and movement behind those words. And in, I think, the fall of 2015, a group of stakeholders in the community, and we could use more members, so I'll tell you when, remind me to tell you when it meets, so we can encourage anybody who wants to become involved to become involved, said, what do we do to put those words into meaning? And we just fairly recently held a survey, had a survey for the public to say, we want to put a slogan out there to bring that message home, and so we can have it visual and have it in our communities. T-shirts.
Was that one of the ones for the mental health board?
Yeah, the mental health board is one of the sponsors, I guess, of the task force.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And they convene it. It's convened at their location.
Right.
About slogans, and we did choose two slogans. Our two top slogans were mental health, : no shame, no blame, which I love. The other slogan that came in second to that was, it's nobody's business, which is, you know, nobody's business, tying it, you know, because it's really everybody's business. But we also want to, we're looking to engage our community members in that, not only our families, but our businesses,
mm-hmm.
because we know that mental health issues affect businesses and corporations,
sure.
and it accounts for so many days lost from work. And it accounts for 17 to, I think it's $44 billion a year in lost productivity. So we feel it's everybody's business. And we liked how the body was in, actually it was everyone's business, but we liked everybody's business to tie the body with the mind. And those are our slogans. Now we're helping develop, have some community members helping us develop artwork to kind of bring those slogans and home. And
you keep them both of them? Or?
We are. I think we're going to have, when we do things like T-shirts, one of them will be on the front, you know, mental health first aid, no shame, no blame, ... And on the back, it's nobody, it's everybody's business. And then whatever else we want to put on the back to help them.
Right.
An action. And what did they do with that? Bergen County had started their stigma-free task force last year, and their slogan was proud to be stigma-free, which is great. We liked it, but it was more of a statement. We're looking for an action. How do we measure it? How do we engage people? What do we do to have people show that they're... So we have a lot of ideas floating around on mm-hmm. the task force. We've also developed a very short 10-minute PowerPoint presentation that can go into schools, it can go into businesses, it can go into agencies, it can go clergy, anybody, about a little bit about the facts and the myths surrounding mental health issues, not specifically about the disorders themselves, but about how can stigma keep people
right.
from getting the help that they need, whether it's a mental health diagnosis or not, or it's a mental health issue. So we've developed that, so we're encouraging anybody out there who would like us to come in and do that presentation. We would love to, 10 minutes of your time to do that. And then a call to action at the end where we have, if you want to learn more about it or get involved or show your support for it, we have a call to action at the end that we're kind of in the midst of developing now. There's an email list they can join. There's a text. They can text information to us. But we're also looking for ideas from the community on how do we make this go viral? How do we get kids in school doing it, you know, saying that, you know, we're going to stand up against stigma? So we're looking for ideas, kind of like the ice bucket challenge that happened last year with ALS. Wow. We're wondering, is there something we can get people to do in the community and you know, put it online if they want to videotape themselves doing it?
Right.
You know, what keeps me strong? What, you know, I believe in recovery. What gives me strength? Stamping out stigma, you know, all sorts of ideas.
Right.
We're
right.
open to ideas out there. So it's new. We're hoping we're going to have a forum in May to kind of say, where are we now in that process? But it doesn't end in May. It's an ongoing thing. We hope to have this grow and grow and grow and engage as many community members, families, businesses, organizations in this movement to really put the words behind that proclamation of being a stigma-free zone.
When do you meet?
We meet. It's been, I don't know if we have a specific date, but it's pretty much ever since we've started meeting. It's been the first Friday of every month. It is during the day. It's 1 p.m. to 2:30-ish p.m. at the Department of Human Services conference room I don't know how to pronounce the road. Larry, help me. 8 Gaunt Street, G-A-U-N-T-T.
Yeah, I think it is Gaunt.
Right. Gaunt Street or place in Flemington, right off of Route 31, right, just north of Hunterdon Medical Center.
Yeah.
So if anyone is interested in joining our task force, they can either email Kathy Zahn at the Hunterdon County Mental Health Planner, and I do have her email address. I think it's czahn, czahn, at co.hunterdon.nj.us, or they can email us at stigmafree at namihunterdon.org.
Okay.
And they can get our, and then we can let them know what's going on. But we're kind of in our infancy, and we're looking for ideas to really bring this out into the community and make it visible. We hope to have posters in businesses that say, you know, mental mm-hmm. health, no shame, no blame, and it's everybody's business. T-shirts so that it's visible. The students at the high school, we did a quick 10-minute presentation for the Key Club at the high school last week. Just to get students and families and businesses, everybody needs to really put that forward.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. To encourage people to get the help they need. They're more likely to stay in treatment.
Yeah.
Get the help and recognize right. their symptoms.
Let's see. You work at Mom to Mom.
I do. Which is where I'm heading off to
right.
as soon as I walk out of here.
Where is that? And maybe you can explain it just a little bit.
What is Mom to Mom? There are lots of Mom to – there's a couple of Mom to Moms out there if you do a Google search for Mom to Mom. The Mom to Mom that I work at is based out of Rutgers University, mm-hmm. out of University Behavioral Healthcare. Our physical location is on Centennial Avenue in Piscataway. We provide mostly phone support. Peer phone support for other parents, not just moms, but parent to parent was taken. So we called it Mom to Mom, but it's parents of kids of any age, birth to, we have 90-year-old parents calling about their 70-year-old children with any special need. Could be physical health, could be medical issues, could be mental health, could be developmental health, could you know, anything. Uh-huh. And we call in and we provide regular peer support for them. We'll call them every couple of weeks. We do a lot more than that at times. People call us and say, I don't know what to do. My child isn't getting the services they need in school. And we'll help guide them through that. We're not advocates. We don't go to meetings
right,
with them.
Right.
We may guide them through what we've been through, you know, from lived experience.
Because sure.
it's a phenomenal group. I am honored to walk in that room every day. There's 21 of us. Moms, we work per diem. We work anywhere from 8 hours to some of us work 16, 24 hours. And it's probably the most brilliant group of women I've ever worked with in my entire life. They are so knowledgeable, and we have lived experience that is so amazing. I right. love what I do.
Right. New Jersey Helpline.
New Jersey Helpline. There is a national suicide prevention
right.
helpline out there. I have the number for that. New Jersey Hopeline is the New Jersey version of the National Hopeline.
Why don't you give that one first?
The New Jersey one?
Yeah.
Okay. New Jersey Hopeline number is 855-654-6735. And Larry knows I'm dyslexic with numbers, so we do workshops all the time together, and I always screw that number up. 855.
Or she has me say it.
855-654-6735. The New Jersey Hopeline is actually in the same room that Mom to Mom is and some of the other programs that I hope we'll
right.
talk about in just a bit. So that's the New Jersey Hopeline. The benefit of calling the New Jersey Hopeline if there's suicidal ideation is that they know New Jersey resources.
Exactly.
The national hotline is wonderful, and I highly recommend that as well, but they're 24/7. You get a person. And they will help guide you through it. Can I give the national
sure.
suicide prevention lifeline as well? That number is 800-273-TALK or 800-273-8255. In both cases, you get a person 24/7.
And if you call the national one, if you tell them you're from New Jersey, they'll direct you to the other one.
They will probably direct you to the New Jersey Hopeline.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Vet the Vet is also in your room with Mom to Mom, right?
It is indeed. And we want to clarify that Vet to Vet is for veterans talking to other veterans, not animal care. Because I know when they first started the helpline, they were getting calls about veterinary. It's for New Jersey vets talking to other vets and for their families. Again, it's a peer support line. These are all peer support lines. Lived experience is really important. Again, I'm honored to be in the room with the veterans helping other veterans. These are people who've been there, done that, been through the worst of stuff, come out the other side and realize that you can get through this. So it's really, really wonderful. There is a sister program to that, though. Vet to Vet is New Jersey-based for New Jersey families,
right.
Although they will take calls from out. I believe they can take calls from outside of New Jersey. Just as Mom to Mom is pretty much started for New Jersey, we were funded to help New Jersey families, but we get calls from 35 to 40 other states, and we don't turn people away. We just can't call them on a regular basis.
Right.
We can talk to them when they call in. There's a national kind of equivalent to Vet called Vets for Warriors program that is for active duty veterans internationally, talking to veterans and their families internationally,
right,
which is also 24/7. That number is 855-838-8255. That's also in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
That we're in. So I'm honored. There's one more program. Do you want to
go ahead.
Ask me about the other one?
Cop to Cop.
Yes, there you go. Okay. Cop to Cop is the other one of the other programs that's in our room as well. There's a couple of others, but we'll talk about these today. Cop to Cop is police officers talking to other police officers. And at Cop to Cop, they are retired police officers who answer the lines. And there's a specific benefit to that. A retired police officer, if someone calls in, an active duty police officer calls in and says that he is feeling, you know, has maybe feeling somewhat suicidal, and if you ask if he has a weapon, a non-retired police officer would have to report that police officer. A retired police officer answering our peer lines does not. They can help talk them through that. People say, oh, why shouldn't you report there's a cop with a gun who has, you know, is feeling suicidal?
All the cops have guns. I mean, you know,
right.
I know a lot of cops, and they're off duty. They have to carry their gun, too. So, I mean, it's not like,
the whole point
you know,
is to talk them through that.
Exactly.
And to help get through that. And most often when somebody is feeling suicidal, as we know from NAMI, as we know from our mental health first aid class, most often a person who's feeling that way just needs
somebody to talk to. Right.
And somebody to listen compassionately. And I love my cop to cops. I do. We help each answer each other's phone. If all of us mom to moms are on the line, it will roll over to a cop to cop line, and we answer for each other and then direct them quickly to the. But it's I have to tell you, it's I am honored, absolutely honored to be able to walk into that room every time I do it.
You know, there's a woman that, who I've had on the show twice now, and she's a teacher locally, and she has traumatic brain injury from two so-called minor accidents, and they were minor, but when she hit the thing and she got the seatbelt blocked her, but then threw her back, and it jarred her, injured her brain. So now she has post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. And she still teaches. She's a music teacher, and she still teaches. But someone had said to her, why don't you, because she lives in South Jersey.
Oh, I remember, yeah.
And they said, why don't you go down to the Fort Dix or McGuire Air Force Base and talk to the vets? And she says, well, I'm not a vet. And the guy says, or I think it was a guy, said, no, but you suffer the same thing they do, post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. So you don't have to be a vet. You can talk to them. And she went down after much pushing and, you know, and she was so surprised how they just accepted her, because the vets would say, well, you've got the same thing I have, you know, and only mine is from this and yours is from a car accident, you know. And so it's great because she feels like she's helping people.
Absolutely.
And they're helping her.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
so
the way she's helping,
awesome.
I believe she's a music teacher.
Yes,
she uses music and yoga.
Yep.
And mindfulness, I think, yeah. Which is, you know, we have to look for those things within ourselves.
Right.
Because there's not always going to be a psychiatrist. Your counselor's not always going to be available. There, and so sure. To learn those self-help skills is phenomenal.
That's
I
right.
think more and more of us are learning that's just as important
as
the traditional forms of treatment
yeah,
out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it's just I think I mentioned to you one time, someone had called me, and they were saying that their son just come back from Afghanistan and Iraq, and they were doing, you know, two tours, and he just stays in his room and all that jazz, you know, and he wouldn't talk to her, you know, his mother. And I says, well, see if he'll talk to me. She's like, well, you know, you're not, I'm not. No, but I was a vet, or am a vet. I says, and yeah, it's not desert in Vietnam, but it's the same type of thing, you know. And he got on the phone with me, and we talked for quite a while. And I finally convinced him to go to Lyons. And as far as I know, the last conversation I had with him, he's still going mm-hmm. up there. And he's getting help, and it's great, you know. Mm-hmm. And he has a job. And so it's just...
There's nothing like talking to a peer.
No. And it's the same thing like with family to family or basics or mental health. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking to people who have been there, mm-hmm. you know. They may, like in mental health first aid, some of the people may not have experience in their family, but they're dealing with people.
Sure.
Either guardian or what have you.
Yeah.
Or in some cases we have, you know, siblings.
Right.
You know, in my case, my son, you know. So it's just, you know. It's pretty awesome, I think. You know?
Can I just quickly? I know we have a break probably coming up soon, but I think it's the Veterans.
We have the end of the show coming up
soon.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, we could talk for 2 hours, Larry. The Veterans for Warrior program, or it's either the Veterans for Warriors program. If you call either one of those, they'll be able to direct you to the others. Is now there's a new initiative, and I don't have a lot of information, but I know that oftentimes veterans have difficulty getting into. Treatment mm-hmm. in a timely manner or have had less than positive experiences at hospitals. I'm not saying everybody has, but if you have and therefore they're not comfortable going
right.
back there,
right.
there's a new initiative through the Veterans, I think it's Veterans for Warriors program, to help them actually get the treatment in a very timely manner, both health care and mental health care treatment. So I encourage people who have veterans out there or families out there
right.
who are looking for treatment, who have had a less than positive experience or cannot get in a timely manner, to call either the vet-to-vet number that I gave earlier or the Vets for Warriors. And you could also find them on the internet if you don't remember the numbers. Call those programs and ask about this new initiative to provide actual services,
right.
not just peer support.
Right.
Provide
right.
it through, and they will hook you up with a program that provides services.
All right, in the last 4 or 5 minutes that we have left, database for special needs for first responders. What is that?
Okay, that's something Hunterdon County, an initiative Hunterdon County has taken on fairly recently. We've been meeting over the past year to provide, oftentimes when families call the police for a loved one who has either a mental health issue or developmental issue, something that would impair their judgment mm-hmm. or ability to effectively follow orders or rules or
right.
whatever of a first responder. And it could lead to less than positive outcomes. So Hunterdon County has decided to put together a database where individuals with special needs loved ones can submit their data mm-hmm. information to the Hunterdon County Dispatch.
Right.
And that database will be kept up, and it could say, what, you know, is the person nonverbal? Do they tend to be aggressive, you know, when they see
right.
a uniform,
right.
which could affect the way
sure.
the total outcome
absolutely.
Of how that interaction goes. And it's not quite up yet. It's coming out. The prosecutor would probably also, if he comes on and talks about his jail diversion, because the main focus of that has been through the prosecutor's office. It started with families with developmental mm-hmm. disabilities because there have been a lot of horrific things that
right.
have happened with kids with autism spectrum.
Sure.
They do tend to wander. They do tend to go towards water. All
yep.
of this information will be kept in a database. So when you call in and you say, you know, my son is missing or my child is missing or, you know, could you come to the house? My child is having an issue. They can pull up the database. It's all private. It's all secure. It's to get information that will be helpful to the persons who respond, whether
right.
it's a police officer, firefighter, right.
first responder,
to help the
right.
outcomes come out better.
Right. You know, and that's like, you know, I feel
it's
that
voluntary too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I feel, too, that if you have somebody that has an issue, whether it's mental health or autism or whatever the case may be, and when the things are quiet, I think that they should go down to their local police department and say, look, you know, my son is schizophrenic, and sometimes he'll go off the straight and narrow, you know, but when he does this, this, or this. So that the officers, when they if they have to come, will know what they're getting into, and they can handle it a lot better than, you know, just taking them down and cuffing them, you know. I seen it firsthand. Three officers talked for an hour and 15 minutes to someone behind a closed door. The young man was in his bedroom and had the bedroom door locked. And the officers talked to him for an hour and 15 minutes. Now, you tell me 5 years ago they would have done that.
Right.
And they would have kicked the door down. And right. You know. And finally, after an hour and 15 minutes, one of the officers came down, one I happen to know. And he said to the parents, you know, we can't continue. He says, we're going to have to go in. We promise we'll take him down as quietly and as softly as possible. And they did. They took him down on the bed, and they brought him to the medical center. And, you know, it's just...
Information is power. You can't know what you didn't know. Police officers weren't initially trained to help people with mental. Neither were educators. This is why we do what we do, because there is information that we have, and it's wonderful when it comes from those of us with lived experience.
You wanted to give a website for mental health first aid?
Yes. If anybody's interested in taking mental health first aid training, there are lots of mental health first aid classes. Now, some organizations do charge for it, so you would have to look online on the website I'm going to give you in a second and see what they charge. Each organization can charge whatever they want for the class.
Right.
Most of them are around $50, $40, $50. If you go to Mental Health First Aid, all spelled out, mentalhealthfirstaid.org, and find a course. You can find a course. You can put in your zip code, and it will find a course within whatever radius of your house you can find a course.
Alicia, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
I want to come back.
Well, you can come back. I have some openings.
Okay, good.
we'll bring you back. You folks have been listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Larry Cartwright. And just for the record, remember, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
You have to be somebody that can solve problems, not just somebody who talks about solving problems. So with my record and now with the growing crowds and maybe even a little bit more media attention, we feel very good about where we are.
Republican presidential candidate John Kasich tells Fox News he's not like fellow candidate Donald Trump. Trump is repeating his call for the GOP presidential field to clear out and leave him and Texas Senator Ted Cruz to battle it out. Kasich says he's not ready to give up on his campaign yet.
Maybe they all ought to get out. You know, I'm the one with the experience, the know-how, the accomplishments, and the record. We're going to do well in Michigan. I mean, we feel the momentum up here.
People around the country are paying their respects to the memory of former First Lady Nancy Reagan. She passed away Sunday at her Los Angeles area home at the age of 94. Former First Lady Barbara Bush said Nancy was totally devoted to Ronald Reagan, and she takes comfort in knowing Nancy is being reunited with him. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, is this the right price on paper?
Yes, it is.
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.